Okay.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'm Thing One.
And I'm Thing Two.
And we're back.
And we are
IT
back.
IT pros.
Yes. We heard there were some issues with folks understanding or being a little confused.
Yes.
With
not with Azure, though.
Not with Azure.
Just
no,
with
just
David.
With David and which presenter and what related to David. So hopefully this will help you out.
And we're twin brothers.
Yep, that's why the name is both David.
Yep. Let's have a look at deploying SharePoint on Windows Azure. So,
how do you transition from Thing 1, Thing 2 to Windows Azure? There you go.
Those that know me know I have the blue hair as well, because it's Azure blue.
Azure blue.
Azure blue, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, SharePoint. How do we get to SharePoint from being a thing?
SharePoint, you know what? Hey, what I was thinking, there's kind of a cloud here. And, you know,
it's kind
Azure
of,
and
well,
cloud.
What we should do is everything now is just Thing, right? So
Thing.
We're going to talk next about how you get this Thing into Windows Thing.
Into the Thing? Well, the Thing 1 into maybe the Thing 2 or 3 or 4, maybe.
Not 5.
Not 5, no. So okay.
I know this. I know this because I tried to get 5 T-shirts from my family one time. And they only go up to 4. So we put one of our kids up for adoption, and that worked.
Those were some fancy T-shirts right
they
there.
They were.
Yeah.
Awesome. Anyway, SharePoint on Windows Azure. Let's take it away. So there's a few reasons why you might want to run SharePoint generally, and even some better reasons why you might want to run SharePoint inside of Windows Azure. So there's always this question of, like, I've got choice now. I can use Windows Azure on premises. Sorry, SharePoint on just. I can use Thing. No, I can use SharePoint on premises. I can deploy SharePoint into virtual machines in Windows Azure, but I can also use this kind of Office 365 thing that has SharePoint. Now, if I'm allowed to take my Windows Azure cap off for a moment, I would say you'd have to be wanting a whole bunch of pain and misery not to try and use Office 365 as your first choice. And here's why. There's not a single server to worry about. There's not a single database to worry about. You just go on and you create your apps in SharePoint, you create your document folders, you add your users in, and you're just using SharePoint. There's no infrastructure to manage. And this is kind of really the value prop of Office 365. As well as the SharePoint part of that is, there's nothing for you to do except use it and get on with your business, right? And for me, if I wanted to use SharePoint, this would be my first place to kind of go on there. And sometimes it's a no-brainer, but sometimes it just there's things I want to do, or maybe I'm not ready to go and federate and do all that funky thing with Office 365. So I need to have some other choices. And the only other choice is to use the boxed SharePoint product. Now, the choice there now is, do I install that on-premises or do I install it in Windows Azure? So we're going to obviously talk about Windows Azure. Obviously, the pros and cons are kind of easy to work out. First of all, pros of running in Windows Azure, don't need to buy any hardware to run it. You can kind of scale out. You can kind of build your HR's highly available kind of environment really quickly. Some downside of it, it's not in your data center. You're going to deal with some latency getting into Windows Azure for your users and all that kind of thing. But it supports kind of the full kind of sandbox model for code and everything, and some things that the Office 365 doesn't support.
The reasons to do it, I mean, the capabilities of that SaaS service, right, are going to continue to expand, right? The infrastructure as a service is infrastructure as a service, and it will always be there.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have that scalable intermediary resource, but it is definitely something to think about longer term. Do you want to be investing in this IaaS infrastructure or let maybe that one or two features you don't have perhaps today in the SharePoint of Office 365, you can deal without it until they happen.
And don't worry if there's something missing in the Office 365, they're going to get to it next time. So, you know, just hang fire. In the meantime, though, what we see customers using SharePoint on Windows Azure for are some pretty easy scenarios. Dev test. And I don't mean necessarily the developers. I mean, hey, you know what? We want to try out SharePoint 2013. But we don't want to go and build out a whole bunch of infrastructure to go and try it out. In fact, a couple of our customers did all the testing for deployments and migration in Windows Azure, then actually went and did it on premises. So, you know, using Windows Azure, the disposable resources that you have there. And obviously, disaster recovery is another one. As you know, backing up SharePoint sites, kind of having a place to go to. And we even have one customer who's decided not to build out a new data center because they can just use Windows Azure. Conveniently, we were in roughly the same place as they were going to build the data center, so they're just deploying a big SharePoint farm into Windows Azure, and it's saving them a huge amount of cost and energy and effort building out the data center. In fact, they'll be finished deploying the SharePoint before they've even would have even finished the securing the data center. So it's pretty cool. So in terms of supporting SharePoint on Windows Azure, it's one of the workloads where you can call up Microsoft and get full support from the SharePoint all the way down through to the OS. We do support SharePoint 2010 and 2013. 2013 has by far the best experience because of the way it can handle non-sticky load balances and that kind of thing. We also have an image in the gallery for SharePoint 2013 as well. And I'm going to flip into Windows Azure because I have an aversion to slides. I can only show two or three at a time, and then I have to go into a demo. In the gallery, we have a SharePoint Server 2013 trial. And when I do this, it's essentially something that the SharePoint group put together. It's running on, what's it running on? Server 2012. And you can deploy it into any of our data centers there. If we go through that, it's just the usual wizard. It's going to ask us for machine names, usernames, passwords, all that kind of thing. I'm not going to go through and create that. We've seen how to create a virtual machine. It's a piece of cake. Once you've got that up and running, it doesn't mean you've got a SharePoint farm running in Windows Azure. It means you've got a server running that has the SharePoint binaries installed. What we haven't done is we haven't run the configuration wizard for a farm. And this is quite important because you can't sysprep once you've run that configuration wizard for a farm. And remember, to get the cookie cutter images, we have to go through this sysprep. And also, we wouldn't know which farm to connect it to. SharePoint has two big dependencies, SQL and Active Directory. So before you can even really go in and use that trial image, you have to go and build out a SQL server and a domain controller. And if you want to be highly available, you've got to build out two domain controllers and your SQL always on kind of cluster there. Now, I've already kind of got some SharePoint things up and running for us, and I'm going to show you kind of some of the fun things you can have with SharePoint. First of all, we're looking at the kind of machines here.
I love Look this. At that. You draw squares so well.
I do it really quick as well.
Yeah.
Faster than you were. that's not a square. It's a hydrodecachlorodurian or something. I just made that up. Anyway, those are the machines we're looking at. I do have an admin jump box, so I can jump in and kind of be on the same domain as those machines. And we've got a domain controller. We've got a database, we've got an application server, and I've got currently four web servers, numbered 1, 2, 3, and 5, just in case you're looking and going, Dave, you've got 5. No, I've got 4. If I click on here and dig into it, I actually have this app, and you can all go and hit this, I believe, because it's on the web, con-web.cloudapp.net. And when you hit that, it is our Contoso Electronics site running in SharePoint. So this isn't your mom-and-pop SharePoint site. We've kind of gone to town customizing this, and you can buy your favorite fictional AdventureWorks 20-inch CRT TV for $169.
Hook it up. I want some of them.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for mine.
Oh, all right. All right, thing one. I want another one of them Thing 5s. That's what I'm thinking.
Thing 5s. We should do a total Thing 5 kind of site. But this is our SharePoint site. It's running on a whole bunch of kit. And it's not, I'll be honest, it's not doing very much. Our CPU floats around 0% most of the time.
That's an intense workload.
It is, because we've got so much servers deployed.
You need some marketing, it sounds like, for your Contoso site.
It does. I should find someone I know in marketing to do that. So what I want to do is kind of work through this scenario with you. And you know, I could go and show you how to deploy SharePoint and thing, but I thought it would be fun to kind of paint a picture of we're heading into the holiday season. It's my birthday, actually, and everyone in the world is going to be buying me electronics and wanting to send me. So we're going to have a whole bunch of load coming on this site. So we better deploy some more capacity.
Uh-oh.
And remember, one of the value props of Azure is being able to deploy new servers when we need them and get rid of them when we don't need them. But SharePoint isn't like the website we created at the beginning of the day. We don't have a slider and magically deploy all the SharePoint stuff, at least not yet. We're working on it.
And we'll get to the scaling part tomorrow. I mean, the next session.
Tomorrow.
Well, to scaling the IaaS, perhaps tomorrow, but for the platform as a service.
And you don't actually mean tomorrow as in, like, Friday, do you?
Yeah.
He means in the future.
Anyway. Yes, anyway.
So what we're going to do is we're going to kind of increase our capacity so we can handle everyone in the world buying me those AdventureWorks TVs.
Lots more things
that I don't need. So, except my wife. My wife, I absolutely need all of the electronics that we buy. So I'm going to log into my jump box. It is domain joined. So I'm going to put in my domain joined password. Obviously, it's a demo machine because I log in everywhere as administrator. And someone pointed out, Dave, you're not very secure. And I went, not really.
Yeah, not really, because I don't really care if you hack that because,
Well, actually, I have a copy of all the VHDs, so I don't care if you hack it.
You can hack it because I'll blow it away and redeploy it because that's what you do anyway.
Yeah. So I'm going to jump into this. We're going to ignore the screen full of red. That's off the last time. And basically what we can do is we can deploy a new SharePoint image. Ooh, SharePoint image. Now, we've got a couple of choices here. We could use the image from the gallery, but what I've done instead is I've actually built my own base image. And if I go into virtual machines and images, I can see I've got an image called SP Base. Now, how I built this is I installed Server 2012. I put all my favorite configurations and customizations on. I then put the SharePoint prerequisites on and then the SharePoint binaries. Then I ran sysprep, shut the thing down, created an image for it. So now I can script well, the creation of a new machine. It's fairly straightforward here, and I'm hoping, yes, cool, it's a good one. I was like, is my password on display to everyone? It's not, thank heavens. So what we do is we go and make sure we're in the SharePoint form description subscription. We go and grab the image name for SP Base. And then we have some parameters, and we're going to create virtual machine 6. Every few days, I go in and reset and delete all of the new servers that I create. But sometimes you go in and I'm creating, like, virtual machine 15.
Yeah. I think you need to automate some of your cleanup, perhaps.
I know. I actually wrote the script, but I'm just too lazy to run it when I'm finished. What we basically do is we go and create, using the same commands as we've used previously, new Azure VM, create the Azure endpoint. And here we've got basically in the virtual machine, Web 01 under endpoint has a public port 80 mapped across to an internal port 3456. Because if I go into my SharePoint machine here, it is port 3456 that I have. And if I go into, is it this one? It's going to load up my app. Internal app, SharePoint app thing.
App thing.
It's going to load up my thing. Well, we'll give it a minute. It will upload. And basically, we've created an internal site on port 3456. So that's why we've got to have that local port mapped across to port 80. We have a probe port. We've touched on this a little bit earlier. But essentially, the probe port is the port that Azure's going to ping, essentially, and expect a response. And we're using HTTP as the probe protocol. So what happens is we're going to ping port 3456, and providing we get a 200 response, we think that VM is good. If you start responding with anything else, what we'll do is we'll actually take it off the load balancer and mark it as bad.
Right. Now, that being said, I should point out that if you want to get really customized, then you wait for the monitoring section next. Right?
Yes, yes. This is something you have to do as part of just endpoint creation. So
that's right.
You're going through this anyway. The next thing we do is we go and create the VM and wait for it to boot. And then once it's created, we then go and remote PowerShell into it. And we have to turn on this little baby here, enable cred SSP. And the reason for this, and see if I can get the explanation right for this, is the reason for this is we have, I don't know what I just did there, but it was pretty darn impressive. Basically, what we have is a couple of machines here. So we've got the machine that we're running our PowerShell script from. We've got the new machine, the new web machine that we're going to connect to. And it's going to run some script here, but that script has to connect to yet another machine that has the database on. Now, if I'm logged on as David here, isn't this awesome? I love it. If I'm logged on as David here, and I roll my remote PowerShell in, I'm not running as David there. I'm running as a system account. So when I try and connect up to the database over here, I don't have the right permissions. So by enabling the cred SSP, what happens is I now run this in the identity of David so that when I connect to the database, bing, it all works.
There you go.
So that's why we do that little thing.
Makes sense.
On there. The rest is just SharePoint, and we go and add the SharePoint snap in, we go and do the configuration database, connect up to the database, install the SP applications, and so on. So it is just straightforward SharePoint. So in order to scale out my SharePoint farm, all I have to do is change the numbers there, click on run, and away it's going to go and build me a brand new SharePoint front end and add it into that load balanced pool of web servers. So quite soon I'm going to have another one running, and it's going to be all good. It does take a few minutes to run. It's building a brand new VM that has been sysprepped, so it's going to go through that process of giving it machine name and do all the reboot thing, but we will see it appear there. So that's some of the things you can kind of do with SharePoint and use that image in the gallery to do it. One question that we do get is, it is a trial image in the gallery, and there's two things that's going to happen. One is, at some point, it will expire. At some point before it expires, we're going to replace the image with a longer expiry date.
Hey, how about that, huh?
As long as we remember. The second thing is, once you've deployed it, you can actually go in and alter the PID and actually put in your SharePoint license key, and that way it removes the trial restriction and you're good to go.
Cool.
Now, there's a few more things just on related to this. I'm not sure if we kind of touched on them this morning, but the way we think about pricing in these virtual machines has changed since preview. So for a Windows server, we do pay for, you know, cents per hour, and that includes the Windows Server license. It's always been that case. Nothing's changed there. In SQL Server, however, we pay a little bit more, but that includes the SQL license. So we don't need a SQL license if we're using the image from the gallery. If you already have a SQL license and you want to bring that license to the cloud, then don't create one of these, because you're basically paying for another license. You have to go and create one of these, and put in SQL yourself, and that way you're bringing the license to us. SharePoint is a trial, so you're going to pay for that as if it were a Windows server. We're not charging you any extra for SharePoint there. You still have to go and have your own SharePoint license to kind of do that. Super. So I just wanted to kind of touch on that. you can see ConWeb 06 has now been created, and it's starting to provision. And in a few short minutes, it will be part of that web form, and I will have even more capacity to handle the millions of users that are watching this live stream and hitting the site trying to buy AdventureWorks monitors.
We had somebody that asked, what is the site URL? Because they wanted to go there. So maybe you should tell them so you can hammer it.
con-web.cloudapp.net. I could do some magic and I guess...
There you go. Whoa! Watch out, thing one.
Watch out.
Watch out.
Zoom in novice in the building. There's the URL. Feel free to hit it. I believe I've got enough capacity to handle anything you can throw at it.
What's funny is at least one person
bringing out WCAT right now and writing a script. I'll take you down.
No, I'm sure.
Watch how I use my Azure free trial subscription to deploy 10 VMs to attack your site. Anyway.
Hey.
Don't give you ideas.
Look at you.
On that. So one more thing I want to talk about. I nearly went back to slides, almost. The last thing I just want to kind of mention real quick, and then we're going to jump onto the next section here, is we do actually have this running in a high availability kind of mode. And it is, you know, the two domain controllers I showed you earlier, an SPApp 1, SPApp 2, SPWeb 1, and SPWeb 2, and the three SQL servers there. Why am I saying this? I need to do more live things so I can kind of.
There you go.
I love the touchscreen.
I know. Can you tell? Nice. I can tell.
It's like new toy Christmas, whatever. So this is my SharePoint form, and it's highly available. And I built this not through a whole bunch of sweat and tears and clicking on things. I ran exactly one PowerShell command. So,
look at you.
And look at me, I'm putting my password in.
Thing one, we were getting fancy deploying a bunch of things.
I know, it's awesome. Hopefully, I won't have to go dig around too much on this. We're actually working on a bunch of scripts that kind of fall between some of the automation David's going to show later and some of the things we've already done. And this script here I'm showing you isn't available yet. It'll be available in the next kind of day or two, or week or two, I guess. Let's cover our backsides here. Eh? Yeah. And basically, it allows you to define an XML file that will create a SharePoint deployment, complete with domain controllers, SQL, SharePoint. And a lot of the time, we think of running SharePoint as quite a sophisticated application, right? You need a domain controller, you need that database, and the VNIC connectivity. And we actually use this as exit criteria on Windows Azure. So it's really good because, you know, when SharePoint runs on Windows Azure, we ship it. So how we make it easier is through some of the automation that we're going to bring out in the form of commandlets and things over the next kind of days and weeks on that. So do watch out for that, because you will be able to go and take the scripts and say create a SQL always on cluster and add it to your existing domain. So we've automated that, and it'll be like pass in a couple of parameters, run the script, and you'll get these kind of nice building blocks to kind of run through there. So I did want to just talk about that a little bit, because it does save a bunch of time when you're building out kind of this type of infrastructure. So let's flip back to the slides a little bit. We kind of talked about this, but let's kind of put some of those things into a nice picture. So first of all, we had these servers deployed here, and these were our web front end servers. That was web 0, 1, 0, 2, and so on. Windows Azure gave us this load balancer for free. Once we start creating the availability set, we start adding load balanced endpoints, we get that for free. We don't have to kind of go and configure anything.
Which is different than some of our competition.
It is, actually.
Anyway, go ahead, continue on.
Yes. Yes. We had an application tier running, and in fact, the larger the form, the more different roles you'll introduce. So we had the application server and the central administration and search and PowerPoint conversion and all that running on one box. But in a bigger installation, you would have multiple application servers all dedicated to particular roles. And one of the great things about SharePoint is being able to deploy servers and then deciding what they do later. And then, of course, we had our database. And again, the larger the installation, the more databases, servers that you might have to use. Our kind of highly available SharePoint, and I've kind of dumbed down the database tier a little bit, just so you can, just so we didn't have to fit too many machines on. But basically, we divided the virtual network into subnets. We had the AD controllers on. Oops, it doesn't help to try and draw on the screen unless you're in draw on the screen mode. We have the two domain controllers as part of an availability set. We added those data disks on. We had the two databases. Oh, no. I almost looked like a pro there and then failed utterly. We have the 500 gig database drivers on there. And in fact, we started off using extra large instances, but about a month ago when we actually made IaaS or infrastructure services generally available, we introduced the two new machine sizes, A6 and A7. And remember, A doesn't mean anything, neither does 6 or 7. And we're actually using those machine sizes now. And one thing I did want to kind of show is if I go into anything, let's go into SPWeb 2, go into configure, changing my machine size is just clicking and then choosing the new machine size. So I'm going to go from a small to a large, and I click on save and click on OK. And it might reboot, it probably will. And sometimes we have to actually move it to a different piece of hardware where there's enough calls free. But in essentially the time it takes to reboot the machine, I'll now be running on a large machine with 4 cores and 7 gig of RAM. So this is kind of our typical kind of SharePoint installation there. And we have a whole bunch of white papers. I kind of did the demos all together. But we have some white papers and things that you can use to read through and tells you a little bit about the Azure side of it, how you think about VNets and domain controllers and all that kind of thing, as well as pointing you to some guidance on using the virtual machines. And we're going to continue with the kind of guidance. We're doing a whole bunch of performance testing right now. Mm-hmm. And also we have a group within Microsoft that comes up with kind of a whole bunch of tuning aspects. So they do it for on-premises SharePoint. They're doing it for SharePoint running in a virtual machine. And what we'll get from that is a series of best practices that will let you tune SharePoint and get the absolute most performance out of it, as well as some guidance on, you know, if you're using this size machine, you can expect this type of workload to kind of run through that. So some great resources.
To tie into that on resources, one other resource you might want to look at if you want a little bit of a quicker hit, I would say, about 15 minutes. There's an Edge Show interview that I did with Paul Stubbs, yeah, who has helped out with a lot of this stuff on SharePoint architecting large architectures. He walks through kind of some more of the basics, but also there's a link to a pricing calculator for those of you who want to get like a little more rough estimate of maybe what it might cost to run that SharePoint architecture inside of Windows Azure, right? The pricing calculator, it's, you know, lots of scales, but this is a nice automated, you know, spreadsheet to kind of plug in a couple things, and you get a closer estimate to what you might be spending.
Yeah, and that's useful because when you're on premises and you are picking the hardware, that doesn't always map to the hardware that we're running in Windows Azure. So you even if you say, right, my on premises machine is 2 cores and 8 gig of RAM, I bet it's not the same processor speed or architecture as what we have running on Windows Azure. So sometimes it's important to kind of see what the differences are and how they map across.
Right, and also, right, when you're moving to Windows Azure, you know, you're in the world of just like somewhat similar to virtualization in that, you know, if you've got a virtualization can scale up and down, right? Azure is the same way, and almost even to more extreme, right? Because if you have smaller instances across a larger number of instances, availability sets, and those kinds of things, right? You have, in some aspects, other kinds of fault tolerance. So yeah, it's different ways to think about planning that the architecture in your environment.
Absolutely.
Right?
So that concludes this section. We're not taking a break. We're going to pause a little while, and we're going to continue on with the next section.
That's right.